translation by Srila Prabhupada. The science of logical argument, the Vedic codes of life and also law and order, moral codes and the celebrated hymns, Bhu, Bhuva and Sva, all became manifested from the mouths of Brahma. And the Pranava Omkar was manifested from his heart. Text 45. Tasyoshni gasilomabhyo gayatri cha tvachovibo trishtum mangshat snutonushtu jagatyasnak prajapate. Thereafter the art of literary expression, ushnik, was generated from the hairs on the body of the Almighty Prajapati. The principal Vedic hymn Gayatri was generated from the skin, Trishtuk, from the flesh, Anustuk, from the veins, and Jagati, from the bones of the heart of the Lord of the living entities. Majaya panktirutpanna brihati pranato bhavat. The art of writing verse, pankti, became manifested from the bone marrow, and that of brihati, another type of verse, was generated from the life breath of the Lord of the living entities. Sparshastasya vivatjiva svarodeha udarita ushmanam indriyanyahur antaksta balamatmanaha svaraha saptaviharena bhavanti sma prajapatehe. Brahma's soul was manifested as the touch alphabets, his body as the vowels, his senses as the sibilant alphabets, his strength as the intermediate alphabets, and his sensual activities as the seven notes of music. Report. In Sanskrit, there are 13 vowels and 35 consonants. The vowels are a, a, I, e, u, u, ri, li, e, I, o, au, and the consonants are ka, ka, ga, ga, etc. Amongst the consonants, the first 25 letters are called the sparshas. There are also four antakstas. Of the ushmas, there are three s's, called talabhya, murdhanya, and dantya. The musical notes are sarigama pa da ni sa. All these sound vibrations are originally called shabda brahma, or spiritual sound. It is said, therefore, that Brahma was created in the Mahakalpa as the incarnation of spiritual sound. The Vedas are spiritual sound, and therefore there is no need of material interpretation for the sound vibration of the Vedic literature. The Vedas should be vibrated as they are, although they are symbolically represented with letters known, which are known to us materially. In the ultimate issue, there is nothing material because everything has its origin in the spiritual world. The material manifestation is therefore called illusion in the proper sense of the term. For those who realize souls, there is nothing but spirit. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milijandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vacha Gaite Girim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinutaranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. With the blessings of the Vaishnavas, here we have the explanation how the signs of logical argument came from Lord Brahma. Vedic codes of life and law and order, moral codes, and the hymns Bhu, Bhuva, and Sva came from his mouth, and Pranama Omkar came from his heart. So everything that you see here in this universe became manifested through Brahma, because Brahma is the Adi engineer. He's the original engineer. Now the engineer has to work with the plan that has been given to him by the designer. Who is the designer? That is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, himself. But Brahma is the one who is manifesting all these things, and how is he manifesting it? From his own body. Because there's nothing else there in the universe. So everything comes from him as an emanation, an expansion of his body. Then literary expression comes from him. The principle Vedic hymn Gayatri. Then different types of Vedic mantras. Trishtup from the flesh, Anustup from the veins, Jagati from the bones. Writing verse, Pankti from bone marrow, Brihati, another type of verse came from the life breath. And in a verse with the purport, it is said that the whole alphabet came from Brahma and also the notes of music. Sa, ri, ga, pa, ma, ni, sa. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. We have got eight. Anyway, seven, eight. So, everything is coming from the Lord. Because without Him, there is no substance. And for people who are materially conditioned, they will see things as material, as separated. But for a person who has a profound vision, he or she will see that everything is related to the Lord. Everything is coming from the Lord. Because ultimately, sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is Brahman. Everything that you see is an emanation of the Lord's potency, of His energy, of His manifestation. So for a devotee, he does not see anything as material. He sees everything is connected to the Lord. Like here in this temple. Do you see anything that's material here? You can say, the book stand, this is wood. But it's the book stand that holds up the Bhagavatam. So it's not material. It's spiritual. We know that all the paraphernalia that you see here is an expansion of Balaram. It is all coming from him. So even the musical instruments, everything is the Lord's potency. So today is a special day. Today is Purnima, and it is Guru Purnima, which means it is the day when Vyasadeva, the original spiritual master, is worshipped. And traditionally, people of this Vedic culture, they worship Guru on that day. This is the original Vyasa Puja. And it is also Srila Sanatana Goswami's disappearance day. And Sanatan, he was the eldest. He was the guru of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. So it is a very auspicious day. And we can meditate upon the pastimes of our previous acharyas. So we will speak about Srila Sanatana Goswami, who was a very, very unique, a very special personality. He was, from an external point of view, engaged in government service because he was highly qualified. He came from a Saraswat Brahmin family from Karnataka. And he had two brothers. It was Sanatan, the eldest, Rup, the middle, and Anupam, the youngest. And they were actually engaged in government duty because Sanatan was so qualified, he spoke fluently not only the local languages but also Persian, Urdu, Farsi, Arabic, the languages of the Muslim rulers that were reigning, that were ruling in India at that time. And because of his great skill and wisdom, he became the home minister, and Rupa Goswami is the finance minister of the Nawab, of the king at that time. They were so involved with the government that even their names got changed to W. Khas and Sakhar Malik. They were going in and out of the houses of these administrators, government people. So they were considered by all local consideration to be part of that Muslim government ruling establishment. But people did not know that in their heart of hearts they were cultivating Krishna Bhakti, and they were simply waiting for the time where they could fully manifest their Swarup, their eternal form as servants of the Supreme Lord. So they heard about Lord Chaitanya and they wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya, and they did not get any answer. So when you write to Guru, sometimes you don't get an answer. Don't be disappointed. This is quite traditional. One time my spiritual master told me, I read all the reports, but I reply very seldom, very rarely. So Guru reads, he observes, but it's not that he always has to respond verbally. After a few more letters, at one point they got a very cryptic message from Mahaprabhu. What was that message? He wrote to them that when the wife has a paramour, she serves her husband very diligently. That was the message they got. So, you know, you may think like, what is that, you know? Like, just ask for instructions. And I got this thing, you know, what to do of this. But because they were highly intelligent, they understood that right now, you're in this service of the government. So you do that. But you have a paramour. You're actually in love with Krishna. And that is your worshipful Lord. That is your object of devotion. So when you have that real object of devotion, you are doing your other duties very sincerely and efficiently so that nobody would suspect that you actually have a higher source of pleasure and happiness. Then eventually, Sanatan, he was not interested in pursuing his government work any further. And he frankly told the king, when the king wanted to go and invade Orissa, he said, no, I cannot go with you, because you will cause pain to Jagannath and to the devotees there, so I cannot go with you. So the king was very upset and he had him arrested, because he was just staying home studying Bhagavatam, pretending to be sick. Till the king himself came and checked on him, and he saw that he was perfectly fine. He was just reading Bhagavatam with a lot of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. So he had him put in jail and he went for his expedition to Orissa, where he failed to conquer Lord Jagannath. But when Sanatan was in jail, Rupa Goswami, he had left 10,000 gold coins with a grocer. So Sanatan, he bribed the jailkeeper to get out of jail. And he praised him. He said, oh, you're a great scholar and a great, you know, pious person. Now jailkeepers are very unlikely scholars nor saintly people. But because he was a simple man, he appreciated the praise. And especially when Sanatan put 5,000 gold coins in front of him, he thought, But still, he was not sure, because the Nawab was known as a very cruel man. So he was afraid that there would be some retaliation. So he was hesitating. So Sanatan piled up a few thousand more gold coins. And he said, look, I'm just going to go to Mecca and become a saint, you know, I'll give up this world, so you'll never see me again in your life, don't worry. And you can tell the king that Sanatan went to the bank of the river and he had all his metal shackles on, and when he was pretending to go to call, to respond to nature's call, he would just jump into the Ganges with all his shackles and he drowned. So he's gone, don't worry about him no more. So the jailkeeper accepted, he took the coins, he gave him his blessings, and Sanatan left. Now, he was traveling by foot and got no proper food and no proper shelter. But he went to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he arrived there, he looked quite disheveled. He had long hair and he was not very well kept. So Mahaprabhu knew that Sanatan is outside, so he told his assistant to go and get him. He said, no, nobody's outside. He said, no, go look again. He said, no, there's only some Muslim mendicant. He looks very poor. And so he said, yeah, that's Sanatan, bring him in. So the Lord embraced him, and he was very, very happy to be in the association of his eternal servant. And then he had him cleaned up. So Srila Prabhupada comments in that section that devotee means clean shaven. We should not have long beard and, you know, long hair. We should be well kept. So then he put on the dress of a renunciate, just loincloth, torn cloth. But still, there was one blanket that he had gotten from his brother-in-law while he was traveling. He saw his brother-in-law who was purchasing horses, and he wanted to give him money, but he didn't take it. So anyway, he gave him an expensive blanket. So Mahaprabhu kept on looking at that blanket for a few days. And then Sanatana understood the Lord does not approve of that blanket. So he went to the bank of the river, and there was a mendicant who had an old torn quilt who he was washing and drying in the sun. You know, some simple kind of cloth. So Sanatana said, why don't you give me that and I give you my expensive blanket? And that mendicant said, you want to make fun of me? You want to make jokes? I don't like that, you know. He said, no, I'm serious. Take this, give me that. So okay, they exchanged, he came back, and then Mahaprabhu was happy. And he understood, Sanatana understood, how can I wear kopins, how can I wear a loincloth and go begging, and I wear a shawl that's worth 3 gold coins? Not appropriate. Like sometimes we see renunciates, and they wear a very elaborate, very luxurious dress, or very fancy jewelry. It is. It may be accepted under the principle of Yukta Vairagya. As you can see, Srila Prabhupada accepted watches and rings, but he also kept on passing them on. He gave them away as gifts, like that. So, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to manifest his mood and his teachings through his disciples, through the Goswamis. So Rupa and Sanatan, they are manifesting extreme humility and renunciation. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the instruction to go to Vrindavan, and he gave him 4 missions, that he should preach pure devotional service and write about it. He should compile the code, the rules for Vaishnavas to be followed, how they should behave, and he should excavate holy places and he should worship the deity. So he gave him these 4 instructions. So Rup Sanatan, he went to Vrindavan, but Vrindavan then was a jungle. There was nothing there. There was no buildings. There was nothing. It was just trees and forests and Jamuna. It was a very wild place with a lot of animals roaming around. Very hard to imagine when you go to Vrindavan now, that just 500 years ago, this was a jungle. So he was there performing his bhajan, and he saw one family who had a young boy, and they had a deity. And they treated the boy and the deity the same. They would feed them both. They would lie them down to rest. The deity was like a family member. Call him Madan Gopal. So Sanatan was very attracted to that deity. And in a dream, the Lord told him that, I will come to you. I will come to you. I want to be worshipped by you. In a dream, he was holding his hand. And he said, Baba, I will come tomorrow. You have to take care of me. So the next day, when Sanatan got up and he walked out of his little kutir, the deity was standing there. But Sanatan said, how can I take care of you? I don't have a house, I don't have a temple, I don't have proper food, I got nothing. I do madhukari. Madhukari means the profession of the honeybee. You just go and you take a little something from every flower. So all he would collect was 5 or 7 rotis, chapatis, from different homes. And that's all he ate. So he said, I cannot give you anything special. How will you subsist? Well, Madan Gopal said, that's okay. I will be happy. Whatever you have, I will be happy with that. So Sanatan did not have any place to put him. So he just took a piece of cloth and he tied him to the branch of a tree. Huh? It shows the kind of ras, the kind of relationship they had. So then he was offering these coarse roti, this very simple flat bread. And Madan Gopal would say, "Can you give me a little bit of ghee? Can you give me a little bit of salt with this roti?" And Sanatan said, "Look, today you want ghee salt, tomorrow you want sabji, next day you want sweets, you know, it's not possible. If you don't like it, you know, go back to your old place. This is how I live." The Lord said, okay, it's fine, it's okay. I'm obliging." So, but then one merchant who got stuck on the river, he prayed to the deity and his boat became again released because it started raining tremendously and Jamuna rose. And so he donated all the profits of his venture of that trip and built the temple of Madan Mohan, which is still there today. It is a magnificent temple. It is extraordinarily beautiful. But when Sanatan was there, there was a problem that in Vrindavan, because of all the tears of the gopis, all the water is salty. But that is difficult because he cannot really drink that or offer that. So Sanatan was a little disturbed. So the Lord said, no, it's okay. You stay in this place. I will make an arrangement. So then next day onward, his well became sweet. His well turned sweet. So if you go to Madan Mohan Temple and you go up on the hill, in the back of the temple, there is Sanatana Goswami Samadhi Mandir, and there is the well next door. And the water is sweet. You can drink it. It's perfectly safe. Absolutely sweet water. Very unique in Vrindavan. So Sanatana Goswami and his brother Rupa Goswami, they would compile many books and they would excavate the holy places. They would roam the entire Braj area and find the holy places and excavate them and have them preserved because they were lost since the time of Lord Krishna. And so the books that Sanatana Goswami wrote that are most famous are Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the story of Gop Kumar. They are the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is the code, the exact code for Vaishnavas and also for deity worship. Then, what else? Saradipika, Dik Darshan Tika, and he wrote a few commentaries. So, he has been very, very proficient in his writing. And these books are available in essence in the writings of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who gave us these Bhaktivedanta purports and gave us the essence of all the Goswami's literatures. Because for us, even when we hear this, you know, Sanskrit alphabet and all these things, it doesn't make much sense. We cannot connect to that. We need something a little more accessible to us. So Srila Prabhupada studied all these scriptures and he extracted the essence, what was relevant for us, and he gave it to us in his purports. So we're very fortunate for that. One time, Rupa Goswami had the desire to invite his older brother for prasad. But he was also a baba. Baba means, you know, a renunciate. So he had nothing. Now, if you have nothing, it's very easy to be charitable, to be hospitable. You know, like, I have nothing, so I'm living here at the mercy of Radha Vallabh and their devotees. And then some guest comes and I say, "Oh, I invite you for prasadam. But what is it? It's not my charity. I got nothing." So anyway, he had this desire. So then as he was doing his bhajan, one village girl, one gopi, she came. And she said, "You know, Baba, we have some festival in our home. And my mother has told me to go and bring you this." So she brought some milk, she brought some rice, some sugar, few ingredients. So Rupa, he cooked it and he offered sweet rice to Sanatan. And when Sanatan took it, he fell in ecstasy. He was totally overwhelmed. And then he asked Rupa, "Where did you get that?" And Rupa said, you know, this girl came and she gave me these things. He said, well, what girl? How did she look like? And he described her. And he said, you have taken service from Radharani? This is very bad. We are meant to serve Srimati Radharani. We're not meant to take service from her. So, as the elder brother, he was always instructing. He was always giving the guidance, the proper direction. Even though he was taking the most humble position, like when he was with Lord Chaitanya, even though he was the oldest and the more knowledgeable, still he would take very humble position. Rupa, Sanatan, they never went into Jagannath temple. They never even went near the temple because people considered them as outcast, because they had worked for government, for Muslim government. Even though they were Saraswat Brahmins, they did not want to break the social etiquette and force themselves in any way, shape or form. They always stayed in the background. They always took a very humble position. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always lavishing affection upon them. One time, Sanatan, when he came to Puri, his body was oozing because he had a skin disease from improper water and food. So he was very disturbed. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always came and embraced him. And he got very disturbed by that. So he wanted to give up his life in Rath Yatra, just under the Jagannath cart. Let me just die under this Lord's wheel. And in this way I can go peacefully. And I don't have to commit any more aparad, any more offense. But the Lord, He cured him from this disease simply by His embrace. One time, Sanatan was... and then, yeah, Jagannanda, Pandit, he gave Sanatan instruction. And he told him, oh, why don't you do like this? Why don't you do like that? And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out about this, he became very angry. And he said, this Jaga is just a young boy. Who does he think he is that he can instruct Sanatan, who is fit to be our spiritual master? And Sanatan said, oh Lord, you have glorified Jagadananda by accepting him as your servant, by chastising him. But still, you're giving me this bitter nimba juice to drink of praise. So, another time, he was visiting Jagadananda Pandit. And Jagadananda Pandit was cooking, and Sanatan was wearing a cloth, a red cloth, around his head. So, Jagadananda was very happy, and he said, oh, when did Lord Chaitanya give you that cloth? And he said, no, such and such Swami, some Saraswati, gave me that cloth. Jagadananda said, what? And he picked up a pot, and he wanted to go and smash Sanatan on the head with that pot. Because for him, there was Lord Chaitanya, and nothing else. And if anybody else would come into the picture, he would not accept it. He would turn furious. So then Sanatan appeased him and he cooled him down and he gave up that cloth. Because such is the nature of the loving relationship of the devotees. When Sanatan was in Vrindavan, he was chanting his bhajan in a place called Chakaleshwar. And it is the place of Lord Shiva. But there was a lot of mosquitoes that were bothering him. So he made the decision one night, I will leave this place. This is too troublesome. I cannot do my bhajan here. So in that night, Lord Shiva appeared to him and said, no, Baba, you please stay. I like you to be here in my place and chant your bhajan. I will make sure that mosquitoes will not bother you. So even now you go to Chakaleshwar Mahadev, it's mosquito-free zone. There is no mosquitoes there in that place, by the mercy of Lord Shiva. So, when he got older, he was doing Govardhan Parikram every day. Every day he was walking around Govardhan Parikram, 14 miles. What is it, 21, 23 kilometers? 21. So, even as an old man, he was doing this. But then, the Lord Himself appeared and said, you know, you're too old, you shouldn't be doing this. This is not, I don't want you to do this. And He gave him a Govardhan Shila. And He said, you just circumambulate this Shila, and in this way you've done Govardhan Parikrama. So the Lord was always very kind and very considerate with His devotees. When he was chanting there in Vrindavan one time, one person was sent to him because that person was looking for wealth, for riches. And it was told to him that Sanatan in Vrindavan, he's got a touchstone. You know, touchstone, philosopher's stone. You can turn any metal into gold. Very nice. So, he came and he asked Sanatan, can I get that? And he said, yeah, you can get it. It's over there in the garbage. Go take it. So he went, he took it, he left. After a while, he came back and he said, I think you're cheating me. Because why you keep it in the garbage? I'm sure you got something better. So Sanatan said, yes. So go throw the touchstone in the river. And then I will give you what I have. Because he had faith in Sanatan. He did as he was told and he received the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he got the greatest wealth by taking the holy name from Sanatan himself. Now when he went around Vrindavan, chanting, Hey Radhe, Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suna Kutaha. He was always looking for Radha and Krishna and roaming throughout the entire area of Braj. And because he was traveling a lot, he went to all the villages of Braj. And he would simply take a little milk or a little roti, chapati, but he would engage in very affectionate dealings with all the bridge bossies. He would ask them, so, is your daughter married yet? How is your son doing? Are the cows giving milk? How was the harvest? He engaged in all these so-called village dealings like that. And he just won the heart. He won the affection of all the bridge bossies. Today, on Guru Purnima, lakhs and lakhs, hundreds of thousands of people are doing Govardhan Parikrama. It is so packed out there that there is no space to walk. All night it will go on. Tonight, all night, they will be out there. The entire Braj area will do Govardhan Parikrama. And when Sanatan Goswami left this world, most of the men in Vrindavan, they shaved their head. Why? Because they considered Sanatan family. They considered him like their father. So they had so much faith, they had so much confidence in Sanatan's instruction and in his affection that they considered him their guru. If you ask anybody in Vrindavan who is guru, they will say Sanatan is guru. He's our teacher. So we can see how the pure devotees, by their selfless love and service and by showering their affection, their kindness, they're conquering the hearts of all living entity. Dhira dhira janak priya priyakaro nirmatsara bujito. They were so gentle that they were so kind-hearted that even the ruffians and the gentle people would accept them. When anybody had a quarrel, when anybody had an argument, they would come before Sanatan to settle it. Because they had confidence that he would solve it in a way that was correct and appropriate, beneficial for anybody. So, in the same way, Srila Prabhupada was also unlimitedly kind and merciful, and he conquered the hearts of all the people who met him. When a couple of months ago, Rock Scully, he passed away. He was the manager of the Grateful Dead, of the band, the Grateful Dead, that had that benefits concert for Srila Prabhupada in the Avalon Ballroom to get the first ISKCON, the first Hare Krishna temple in San Francisco established. So, when he was interviewed by the devotees about Prabhupada, he said, everybody liked him. Everybody loved him. Even the Hells Angels, who were the security guys at that event, they liked him. And why? What was the explanation that he gave? Because everybody considered he's one of us. Now how can Prabhupada be one of them? He was 70 years old, coming from Vrindavan, you know, sadhu dress and white pointed rubber boots, little shoes like that. How can they? But because he was not behaving or acting in a way that he put himself above the crowd, he conquered their hearts. People felt, yeah, he's one of us. He's one of the boys. And thus he won their confidence. Very much same like Sanatana Goswami. Yesterday morning, Saurabh Prabhu left this world in Vrindavan. He was known as Surabhi Palayantam Prabhu. He was the architect that designed Vrindavan, that designed Radharas Bihari Temple in Bombay, that designed, I believe, also Prabhupada Samadhi. He also designed Hyderabad and Bhuvaneshwar. Prabhupada had many book distributors. He had many preachers. He had many cooks. He had many pujaris. But he only had one architect, and that was Saurabh. When he got initiated, Prabhupada said, "Your name is Saurabh." You know, Bengali accent, Saurabh. You don't say the A, you say O, Saurabh. And he heard, "Your name is Zorro." So he was worried. He had these nightmares, you know, about a black man in black dress on a black horse, you know, with a sword riding around. What is this? You know, Prabhupada gave me the name Zorro, you know. But then they found out it's Saurabh. So he's from Holland. He was a trained architectural designer. And Prabhupada liked his designs a lot. And immediately Prabhupada engaged him. When he met him, he immediately gave him service. Okay. He immediately empowered him. Okay, you first sight, first visit, first meeting. Not like, who are you? What are your credentials? Oh, you're an architect. Okay, here, I got a job for you. You just built a big temple here. When? Now. Get working. Get busy. So, in the instruction of the spiritual master, the empowerment to carry out that instruction is already contained. When we receive instruction from Guru, we do not have to go somewhere else to get empowerment. But when you get the instruction, the empowerment is already contained in that instruction. You may not realize it because the plan will be revealed on a need-to-know basis. Krishna keeps it interesting. He keeps the mystery, the suspense. So to the degree that we surrender, the plan will be revealed. It will unfold in front of us. I heard about Saurabh, I seen picture, but I never met him. And I had the desire to meet him. So this year, there was the 40th anniversary of the installation of Krishna Balaram Temple and the opening of the Vrindavan Temple. But I couldn't go because I was teaching in Gujarat. But when I flew out, which was just a few days after that, and I was in Delhi International Airport, just behind immigration, there is a spot just behind immigration and before the duty-free. It's the zone where everybody wanders around and looks at, okay, where is my gate, you know, at that sign. That's the best spot to distribute books. Because everyone is coming right through there. You know, like here, everybody has to come through that door. So I was just standing there distributing Prabhupada's books, and then Saurabh came. And I knew him from the picture. So I went up and, you know, we talked and I could offer my respects to him and we had a nice moment. And I also saw him in LA a couple of weeks ago at the Prabhupada Festival. And I heard his memories of Srila Prabhupada and how Prabhupada fully trusted him and gave him so much service. Till when Prabhupada left the world and his projects finished, ended, and he kind of ran out of service. And then his past caught up with him. And he went to Hong Kong and he started designing fashion and other things. Till after some time he could reconnect with Prabhupada. So we should never think that people who are not very active right now, but who have done tremendous service before, that they're out of it, they're gone. But they're simply waiting for an opportunity to reconnect. And what is that opportunity of reconnection? It's service. Whenever we get service, we're connected. And if we have no service, even though we may be physically close, if we have no service, we have no connection. So if you want to have intimacy with your spiritual master, you have to have service. Prabhupada once said, the mosquito and the fly, is the most close to me, but they're disturbing. So if you want to have real intimacy with the Guru, you have to have service. That's why we're very fortunate, because Srila Prabhupada has given us tremendous opportunities for service. Huh? There's no limits in preaching. There's no limits in book distribution, in prasad distribution, in building this congregation, and in spreading the glories of the holy name far and wide. That is the mood of Sanatana Goswami. He was very, very liberal, very generous, very strict with himself, but very liberal with all others. And that's why he was able to conquer the heart of everyone. So, let us today meditate on the mercy and on the compassion of Srila Prabhupada, of our spiritual masters, and of Srila Sanatana Goswamis. And Purnima is also a good day to make some sankalpa, to make some vow. So whatever it is that it's important to you, today's a good day to say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set my mind on this. And by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, everything is possible. Everything is possible. Even a blind man, he can see. A lame man can cross mountains. A dumb man can speak poetry by the mercy of the spiritual master. So today is the disappearance day of Srila Sanatana Goswami, and we have this wonderful opportunity to remember his instruction and his teachings. And if we try to humbly serve and follow in his footsteps by emulating this extraordinary Vaishnava humility that he was exemplifying, we can invoke the attraction, the mercy, the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva. Sanatana Goswami was highly qualified, but he always saw himself as the most fallen and as the most undeserving. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it his goal to establish Sanatana as the guru, as the teacher, as the acharya. So, Hare Krishna. Any questions in this regard? Yes?
Is waiting for service not commended by Prabhupada?
No, because there's so much service to be done. So, it's just a matter of understanding what the service is and how we can apply ourselves to do service. Sometimes we have a very narrow understanding and we think, I can only do this or I can only do that. Otherwise I can't function. And if that's not available, then, you know, okay, nothing for me. Like, you're a handyman, you're a very practical person. So one day you do this, one day you do that. But if you would say, I can only repaint awnings, you know, okay, then limitation, right? There's not much for you. So, in the same way, we shouldn't say, oh, I can only do this service, and everything else, that's just not my kind of thing. Because devotional service is absolute. Sanatan, he did everything. He worshipped the deity, he preached, he wrote the books, he did the outreach, he did the counseling, he did everything. In the same way, Prabhupada. His door was always open and he was always accessible. He would spend every day for at least 2 hours, open audience. His door was open, he gave darshan, people came and asked questions. Sometimes they just talked about their life. Prabhupada didn't say, hey, you know, I'm the big guy here. If you don't have any important business, then get lost. One time he was in Geneva, and Guru Gauranga Prabhu, the president of the temple, he brought one important politician to Prabhupada. So he came into the room, Prabhupada sat there, and Prabhupada asked him, do you have any questions? And the man said, no, I don't have any questions. So then Prabhupada just picked up the harmonium and just chanted Hare Krishna. For 40 minutes, he just did bhajan, just chanting Hare Krishna. Then he put the harmonium aside and he looked at the man and he said, this is what we do. We chant Hare Krishna. And then he told the devotee, give him prasadam, the mandala. So, if we don't have any predisposed mental idea or stipulation, we can always have service. That is a fact. And Krishna sees the heart of the devotee and he is giving opportunities. Chanting is service. Reading the Bhagavatam is service. It's not that we're not doing service. Sometimes we think, oh, I have to do service on my terms. But, you know, a servant is not supposed to be the one who dictates the term of his service. It's the master who dictates the terms of his service. If you have a servant who wants to tell the master how it's supposed to be done, then it's time to let the servant go, you know. So, okay. Other points? Yes.
Sanatana, you said, was very liberal with himself.
No, he was very liberal with others and very strict with himself. By understanding that every living entity is on their level and they're all making progress according to their ability and means, and we cannot judge what is their internal connection with the Lord by external situations. Like he was a sannyasi and he was super renounced. But the other people were householders. They had, you know, businesses. They were agriculturalists. They were quite prosperous in that sense. So the tendency of the mind usually is to say, okay, everybody has to live the way I live. But that just doesn't work. So he accepted that there are different ways of serving Krishna. And he was not judgmental. He would not criticize. But he would in fact serve the Brijbasis because he felt that these are Krishna's people. You know, I came from somewhere else. But these are the actual members of Krishna's family. So he saw himself as a servant. You see, the guru doesn't see himself as the master. Guru sees himself as a servant. When I approached my spiritual master for initiation, we had a very friendly relationship before. And so it was kind of a new thing. But he said, look, it's like this. Number one, I am your servant. Number two, I'm your friend. Now if you want me to be number three, your spiritual master, I can do that also. But you have to understand that number one, I'm always your servant. And number two, I'm always your friend. So I said, that's fine, but I need number three. So can we do this? So the point is, I'm trying to make that a teacher is not seeing himself as the master or as the ruler. But he sees himself as a servant of his students and of everybody. And thus he teaches by example. What is proper attitude? What is humility? Because otherwise we don't get it. Because it's very theoretical. Oh, lower than the straw in the street and humbler than a blade of grass. And sounds great. But, you know, what does it practically mean?
With liberal, can you say it's open-minded and forgiving?
Yeah, open-minded and forgiving and understanding that people are just on different levels of their journey. And it's really not up to me to judge what is their situation. It's hard, yeah. Nobody said it's going to be easy. Yes.
Can you share what's following Acharya, imitating Acharya?
Following and imitating, yes. Following means we actually hear. We actually pay attention. And we apply our intelligence how we can actually take that instruction and implement it in our own life. Huh? In our own situation. Imitating means we start dressing, walking, talking, acting like guru. And that is quite annoying. That is quite distractive when you see people are just trying to, you know, become somebody by external appearance. But to follow means that we actually pay attention, we hear, and we apply our intelligence, our God-given intelligence. Prabhupada wanted us to become independently thoughtful and self-reliant. We're not looking for clones.
Devotee's not a robot. As you can see, Meenamastha Goswamis of Vrindavan, they're all very unique. They all have very unique characteristics and their own personality. And that's perfectly all right. The Lord is very happy with that. But as soon as we start imitating, we walk on very thin ice. Because we're in someone else's shoes. Did you ever take somebody else's shoes? As a kid, right? Get into daddy's shoes, you know, walk around like that. It's not very adequate. We can fall and trip and fall very easily. Other questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you all for your attendance, your patience and tolerance and kind hospitality. It was a very inspiring stay here at Melbourne. And we wish you a happy Guru Purnima. Today is Sanatana Goswami's disappearance day. And Purnima, full moon. So instead of staying up all night and howling at the moon, we can hear about his activities and his instructions. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sanatana on several occasions and he instructed him. He gave him very, very valuable teachings. And they're all in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you can read those chapters from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami. It's very inspiring. And by seeing the example of Sanatana and his humility and how he was accessible and non-judgmental, in the same way as Prabhupada also would exemplify, we can become inspired to also become a little more kind and accessible and liberal in the good sense. That is required. Thank you very much, all Guru Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.
And thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, as Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami said, I'm lame and I'm almost deaf and blind, but by the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas, I'm able to walk. So I'm going back to the desert of California that is running out of water rapidly. So with all of your blessings, we hope to be able to make this journey. And it's a long journey through the desert on that horse with no name. So up that famous creek in that canoe. So without the blessings and the good wishes of the Vaishnavas, we have no standing, we have no ground. Sanatana, even though he was the eldest of all the Goswamis, he always consulted. He was not an autocrat, he was not a dictator. He always consulted with his fellow Vaishnavas that were there. So there's many things that we can learn by studying this tradition. So again, thank you for your kind wishes. Please keep me in your prayers. Today, Radha Vallabha is looking very mischievous. Because Madan Gopal, you know, he then was known as Madan Mohan. Later on, he got transferred to Jaipur and then to Karoli. Mm-hmm. This is a very beautiful story. I'm not going to tell it now. You can look it up. You go on ISKCON Desire Tree and you look up Sanatana Goswami today. It's a very sweet story. Just a little hint. There was some marriage involved and the condition was that the girl, the princess, she wanted to have the deity. But they didn't want to give the deity. So they said, okay, let's put the deity in a room with a whole lot of deities. And if she can blindfold and make out that deity, then she can take him. And so in a dream, in the night, Madan Mohan came to the princess and said, "You just have to feel my arm. My arm will be very soft." That is a marble deity. He said, "My arm will be very soft. So that's how you can recognize me." So she immediately picked out the deity. And he went to Karoli. So that also shows that Krishna has his own mind. We cannot feel too confident or become proud or lethargic and think, yeah, okay, we have a monopoly now. Because Krishna can walk any day. He has done in many occasions. So we should never become complacent. Krishna makes sure that he keeps his devotees always slightly on their toes to make things just a little bit uncomfortable, that they think, okay.
Like Sakshi Gopal.
Like Sakshi Gopal, exactly. He can move. He's not dependent on us. We're dependent on him. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Anyway.